Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life. Hello, hello, hello. What is up, people? Welcome to another episode in the pod squad. We got the crew today. I'm Josh, you know, not riding solo. We got Kayla on the pod with us today. Kayla, how are you feeling today?
I'm good. It is 79 degrees outside.
It is a sunny. She's toasty outside. Sunny outside.
I'm literally so happy.
But you're wearing a sweatshirt.
I'm anemic.
You're anemic?
Yeah, so I get like cold a lot.
Please walk us through that process. We're going to change our topic to now talking about anemic today.
Anemia.
Oh, anemia. We're going to change it to talking about anemia today.
No, we're not.
Okay, we're not. We won't do that. Don't worry, guys. Well, hope you guys are having a great day. It is a very sunny day for us. The sun is out, which means today should just be another extra day of podcasting. Because the sun's out, which means our brains are flowing, which means this is about to be some awesome content of whatever we're about to talk about, which is, I'm not sure. Kayla, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to go over the prosperity gospel.
Prosperity gospel. Yep. You said it right. Yep.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And then it's going to relate into other things later on.
Okay.
So we'll start off there of just like, I mean, if you're like me, if you hear that word, you don't even know what it means. Because for me, when I hear like prosperity, I think it's just like, oh, it's just a prosperous gospel and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But that is definitely not the definition of what that is. So Joshua, may you give us a little Bible brain or some just knowledge on what that is.
Yes. So the prosperity gospel, this is coming from Got Questions. this is the what it's defined as. Because if you were going to go to 10 different people and ask what's the prosperity gospel, you'll probably get like 6 different answers. Mm-hmm. So just so we're all on the same page, we're going to define it as a favorite term of prosperity gospel teachers is positive confession. This refers to the teaching that words themselves have creative power. What you say, prosperity teachers claim, determines everything that happens to you. Your confessions, especially the favors you demand of God, must all be stated positively and without wavering. In a short-term sense is more of like a name it, claim it. Like, God, if I speak positively, like I'm going to buy this new car today. If I go to the car dealership, I'm going to get this new car. Like speaking positive affirmations and then expecting it to come forth or to come true.
Wouldn't that be a manifestation?
Yeah, or in a sort of name it, claim it, or the health is wealth gospel, health and wealth gospel.
Yeah.
Like, because of my faith or because the amount I pray or because the amount of money I donate, I'm going to have good health. I'm going to have good things come forth in my life. So it is a very, you either, what you put in is what you get out, mm-hmm. but in a positive format. They still believe, or the prosperity gospel movement still believes Jesus is the road to salvation, mm-hmm. like at that initial point. But then off of that, it's, hey, if I give more money to the church, then I'm going to have a better life and God's going to bless me more. If I speak positive affirmations about myself, then I won't get sick because of I pray better than other people, so I won't get sick. Or I'll get financial blessings because of what I've manifested over my life.
So to an extent, is that untrue?
Yeah, yes. At least...
Elaborate.
Yeah. So this is where it gets dangerous, right? Because if you play that out, yes, Jesus is the road to salvation, 100%. We all agree on that. But then after that, if you follow that prosperity movement, mm-hmm. you're developing shallow roots, right? Because there's truth to both sides. There is truth to where Jesus says, look, ask for it. Ask, seek, knock. Father wants to give you good gifts, the desires of your heart. Like there are definitely things that align with the word of God that God wants to bless us. God does not, like he wants good things for us. He's a father who wants to give good gifts. But in the prosperity movement, it's more of an equation based. If I do X plus Y, it'll equal this. So for example, if I donate a lot of money to a nonprofit and I just speak great affirmations over myself that I'll never get sick, well, then the moment I get sick and I'm going to blame God, and then you'll start to deconstruct your faith. So it develops shallow roots to where the moment the wind blows, the rain comes, that house isn't going to fall because it's on sand. It's not on a good foundation. So there is some truth of, hey, look, you can ask, seek, knock, and have a lot of faith, and you can pray, which I hope we all do, which is awesome. I hope we all pray and ask for things, but not with the expectation of the result that we determine. Right? Hey, God, if I do this, then my personal expectation is this result, which is just a human expectation.
So how would you not have that expectation then? Like, how do you take away trying to ask for what you would want and then just being okay with whatever is given or whatever whatever you get from that kind of ask?
Obedience is not outcome-based, right? So, and this is where faith comes in, right? I have faith. Like Jesus says, look, when you pray in my name. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Like, we can pray with faith. We should pray with faith. We should ask for things in faith. We should worship in faith 100% out of obedience, regardless of what the outcome is. When the outcome starts to determine what our obedience level is, that's where that shallow faith comes in. Like, God, I'm only going to be obedient or only going to have faith if you show me the finish line first.
Giving to get.
Yeah, like giving to get. God, if you show me the financial blessings, then I'll backtrack and be obedient. God, if you show me the healthy lifestyle and a family with no disease or sickness, then I'm going to backtrack and start to be obedient. But it doesn't work like that. Obedience is not outcome-based. With us, with faith, we are obedient and we have faith. But we believe, and our faith is in that Jesus' outcome or God's outcome for us is better than anything we could desire for ourselves.
But with the mindset of like giving to get, then for people who are kind of like, okay, if I do this and this is going to happen, what would you say like in the negative realm of like, if I don't do this?
Yeah. So then you got to play the reverse of that, right?
Yeah.
And that's where a very shaky theology comes in. Because if you follow that train of, if I do this, then this will happen. The reverse of that is, well, if I don't pray, then I'm guaranteed to get sick.
Yeah.
Well, somebody, like, we're all going to get sick. Whether if you pray or not pray, more times than likely you're going to get sick. Whether you pray or not pray, something, just life is going to happen, right? We live in a world full of free will, where humans have the free will to make decisions, and those decisions impact others, some in a not great way, some that cause pain, some that cause suffering. Just the fact that we're in a world and our bodies are decaying because of the fall of creation, there's sickness, there's disease, lifespans are shortened. So whether you pray or not, have faith or not, these things happen to us. But it's the ones with a solid foundation are able to kind of weather those storms. And this is where you see a lot of people deconstruct their faith from that movement. Right? Wait, pastor, wait, church, I've been going to you. You told me if I did do this, I was not going to get sick. You told me if I donated more money to your agenda, then I was going to get this financial blessing. But now I got $5,000 in credit card debt. Like, what's going on here? And then you start to deconstruct the faith aspect. Which some people will even deconstruct all the way back to, man, it's just the true gospel. Did I put my faith in actual Jesus, or did I put it into this movement hoping to just have a quote-unquote better life or prosperous life?
Then how do you explain, like, obviously, like, you hear all the time, like, Father likes to give, like, good gifts, but then, like, when something bad happens, is that a result of us not listening, or is that a result of us not doing enough, like, where do you get that from? If like, you're like, this is not a good gift. I think you've said it before where you're like, can I return this?
Yeah.
I
don't, yeah.
Like, what would you do in that case then of like, where does that trust or that faith fall in of like, this is not a good gift. And like, how did this end up here?
When you get something you didn't want, so to speak. I mean, you got to go back to the definition of faith, right? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence in things we hope for and the assurance of things unseen. Right. If I put my faith in going back to the outcome based, right, that falls back to outcome based. Like, God, I really want this gift of fill in the blank, or I don't want this gift. Some people probably singleness. Right. I don't want this gift of singleness. I don't want this disease. I don't want this sickness. Right. But if I have to look at the outcome or the end result first and then backtrack, that's not faith. Right. That's like evidence-based, that's assurance-based. But faith is something that we have confidence in things we don't see. So God, even though I don't see the finish line, I don't see the outcome, I'm gonna trust your sovereignty is above it all. So yes, you're a father who likes to give good gifts to his children. And I think one thing, we gotta remember our time span here on earth. Like, this is not our final destination. We think 80 years or—
citizenship is in heaven.
Right, we think 80 years or 90 years is a long time. So when something bad does happen, and which it does, man, we feel the emotions, we feel the pain, but we forget this is not the end all be all, right? So sometimes that good gift is eternal hope, eternal joy, eternal salvation, to where there'll be a day where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, referring to heaven. So I'll say, Father, the Father who wants to give good gifts to us, we need to switch our perspective on what we view as a good gift, mm-hmm. right? If we view as something that isn't a good gift from God, more times than not, you just got to switch your perspective of what a good gift is. If I had to bank on it, it's probably just our human expectation or human standard, putting a limit on what God can give or should give.
Yeah. And then going back like to the giving to get too, I think it comes from the heart. Like even just like taking it back, not just from like praying of something and asking like, oh, I'm volunteering every single week. Like, why am I not getting the things that I'm asking for? But more of like the aspect of like dying to yourself. I feel like we forget that part of like, we should not be looking at like what we're going to get, but like how much can we give all the time? Like the, like you said before, of like amplifying, I don't think amplifying is a word, but like your gifts that you give, like the fruit of the spirit will be there.
Yeah.
Rather than you trying to get something out of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think we as Christians, when you see the lifestyle Jesus lived, he preached almost the opposite of a physical prosperity, right? Constantly, Jesus reminded his people or his disciples, hey, this is the cost. Like, if you want to follow me, mm-hmm. Luke 14, you got to hate your mother, your brother, your earthly relationships in pursuit of your relationship with Jesus. Hey, you got to present your body as a living sacrifice. You got to die to yourself and take up your cross. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus constantly reminded his followers of a non-physical, like in this physical life, of a prosperous life mm-hmm. in comparison to what we view as prosperous, like health, wealth, blessings, financial hardships. And not saying that financial, like having money and having health, like is a bad thing. Like yeah. that's okay. Like you can be rich and still be a Christian and love Jesus at the same time. 100%. You can be in healthy physical shape and still love Jesus. 100%. It doesn't mean you just have to be poor and like not be healthy and do all this stuff. 'Cause that's the whole other drastic end of that spectrum. But Jesus, when he was on the earth, he continually preached to his people like, hey, the physical prosperity part, mm-hmm. it's not there. Like, some of you guys are actually going to get persecuted. I'm actually going to physically get tortured. Like, that doesn't seem very prosperous. So you got to count the cost of discipleship. You got to take up your cross, present your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. So Jesus kind of preached the opposite of a physical prosperity life. But he did always point towards a eternal prosperity life, if you will, of like, hey, yes, this is temporary. Yes, this suffering is here and it happens. But this is not the end goal. Like, mm-hmm. there'll be a day where the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. The kingdom is at hand. We're all going to be in a place of no mores. So that's what I would say to that.
Well, I mean, you said, like, with the life of Jesus, of, like, basically to give your all. So then that relates back to now going into the works-based salvation mm-hmm. component of it is, like, if we're called to give and to serve,
yep.
then why is that not us being saved through that?
Yeah. So wanting to give and serve is the fruit of the faith we have and not a result of, right? Mm-hmm. James talks about faith without works is dead,
yeah.
right? Because we have faith, saved by grace through faith, the result of the faith we have is living out what Jesus commanded, loving people, serving people. The Son of Man came to serve and not be served, right? And that's a fruit of our faith and not a, hey, I'm going to serve and then have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
A little bit. I mean, elaborate more on it, though, for people of, like, then what if there is someone who is stuck in that belief of, like, I must do these things and mm-hmm. I must give, like, I must give X amount to the church and I must do this many times per month of, like, serving in this
yep.
just for me to be saved in that aspect rather than just understanding that, like, that price has already been paid.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, first, I would say, some of us may need to unlearn the way we grew up mm-hmm. or what we've been told, right? If that's the lifestyle you grew up in or the teachings you grew up under, we may mm-hmm. need to unravel that and unlearn a little bit and just say, hey, if I was on a desert island reading the Bible for myself, would I still believe this as true?
I love that question.
And I would argue or hold the position of, if you're on a desert island and you just unlearned the culture you grew up in, you would see that you don't have to, for salvation, for yeah. eternal life and hope and grace, it's not work-based. I mean, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 is very, very specific, saying this is a free gift from God, not a result of works, so that nobody can boast. So So this way you can't say, hey, well, I donated $100,000 and I gave 40 hours a week to charity. Mm-hmm. So therefore my salvation is better than your salvation because I only donated $50,000 and served for 20 hours in a nonprofit. But he's like, no, so nobody can boast. It's all the same grace. It's all the same salvation. You can't say yours is better than mine or mine is better than yours solely off of the works aspect that you put in. So I would encourage anybody who may grew up in that or is currently living that ideology or lifestyle of, hey, I'm giving more for salvation. Like, hey, I'm going to donate more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to, you know, present my body as a living sacrifice even. But I would say it's a hard but there. If the motivation is having a works-based salvation, that's where those shallow roots come.
Yeah.
Because then the moment where the humanity aspect kicks in to where you can't donate as much money or serve as much in a nonprofit or volunteer here, the moment the humanity aspect kicks in and you got to take a day off, you're going to start to second guess your salvation or second guess your faith. I'll say that.
How do you work through then not second guessing your salvation and like going back to the prosperity gospel of like what part of that do we keep? Like what part do we keep asking for these things and understanding though that God is still going to give us good gifts, but the gifts that he has already set into place for us.
Yeah. I think the truth that we hold is what the scriptures teach, right? You can ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. The Father wants to give good gifts. Psalms 37:14, he wants to give you the desires of his heart. But all those things are contingent on what our perspective is on either a good gift or the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh man, if I desire a new car and I just pray really hard, like God's going to give me that desire of a new car. Like, he's God. He can do what he wants. But I would say that's not really what the scripture's teaching. He's teaching the more you develop a relationship with Jesus, your desires are now becoming his desires. The gifts that you want are also going to become the gifts he wants to give.
Yeah.
Referring to, hey, let me, instead of giving you the car, let me, I don't know how God would do it. I'm not really God, so I can't really give a God example here. But the more we align our relationship with his, or align a relationship with him, our view or perspective starts to align with his heart.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, God, if these are the gifts that I want or the things I'm asking for and seeking, and these are the desires of my heart, okay, now, God, what are your desires? Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my kingdom and my will. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Align my heart with yours. And then the more times we see our perspective or heart align with the word of God and with God, then we typically see those things, those desires of the heart fall in line.
That's beautiful. So like if someone's going through this, that'd be a good way to start of like your prayer of like align my heart with yours.
Yeah.
And like just again to the people who are going through like the thought process of that work-based salvation, like how would you... Or like, how would you steer them or like recommend them to start having that deep-rooted faith?
Yeah, I would say take a breath. Like, just breathe for a second and rest in knowing. Like, we live in a society where you got to prove yourself for everything.
Yeah.
And a work-based salvation is basically you proving yourself to God that you're good enough for salvation.
Yeah.
Hey, God, I'm volunteering, I'm donating, I'm doing all these amazing things. I'm proving myself to you to have salvation. I would just say breathe for a second, hit the timeout button, and realize you don't have to prove yourself. Like, this is the one, like, for job interviews, you got to prove yourself. For the sports team, you got to prove yourself. In relationships and dating, you have the fleshly desire to prove yourself. This is the one aspect in your life, the cornerstone of your life, that you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to try to outwork anybody. The only thing you have to do is just accept what's been freely given to you, the grace of God. And then just rest in that. Like, hey, God, I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to prove it. I just had to accept what you freely gave me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. There's a lot of stress that's now off your shoulders and a lot of... stress, time, there's a lot of freedom now onto you, a lot of grace onto you, to where you don't feel like you have to live this 9-to-5 work-based style to get proven in the eyes of God. So I would say if you're in that work-based phase or stage of life, I would just say take a breath and rest in knowing that you don't have to prove yourself, that you can just accept what's been freely given to you.
For, I mean, a little bit touch base now. We went over a lot of like the pro part of it, but now like the con, I guess. Like, what if you are overtaking that freedom that you have already been saved by grace?
Mm-hmm. So that would be hyper grace.
Yeah.
Is what we call it, right? Hey, God, because I have so much of your grace and so much of your freedom, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah. And you're going to give me it because.
Yeah, because of your grace and because you love me so much and because of your freedom. You're going to give me all this. Man, you got to look at the whole counsel of God. With the grace aspect, Paul made it very, very clear that you should put sin to death. He said, do not let grace abound as a license to sin. He says, by no means. No, like grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and expect God to forgive us on the back end. Mm-hmm. He says, put that to death. Put that sin to death. And then if we live on that, man, God, you love me so much, you have to give me what I want because you're a loving God. That goes back to our expectations as a human saying, God, hey, you have to, like, what human can go to a God of the universe and say, hey, you have to do X, Y, and Z because you're supposed to love me so much? There just sounds like a lot of pride in there.
Yeah.
Like you may need an ego check or a humility check and humble yourself before the Lord, because he's God and you're not. You can't go to him and say, hey, I expect you to do X, Y, and Z because you're supposed to love me so much and your grace and your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not God. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh my, there you go. That was good though. I feel like that's great to be able to like tell people to take a breath sometimes though when you're getting caught up and just trying to prove yourself to a God that already knows your worth because he created your worth. You know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For sure. We can get caught. In all these things, there are always slippery slopes on each end, whether if it's the work-based salvation and then getting caught up in that and then feeling you have to prove yourself, or if it's the hyper-grace side and the freedom side, then you have to humble yourself a little bit. Like, all of these spaces have slippery slopes to where if you start to go down that, you can catch yourself sliding. You're like, bro, how did I get here? And to anybody in that, knowing that there's a slippery slope kind of wherever direction you go, you just rest in knowing the whole counsel of God, right? Know that each drastic side, there's the other side. Every coin has two sides. So if you're on one drastic side some way, ask yourself, hey, what's the other side of this coin? And where can I be in the middle, right? Where does the word of God speak to? I always like to say every coin has two sides. So if you're on the super hyper grace side, then the other side of that coin is a legalistic side. If you're on the work-based salvation side, the other side of that coin is it's been freely given, or the predestined side, so to speak, to where I don't have to do anything because salvation has already been given to me. So every coin has two sides. So wherever you're at, ask yourself, hey, what's the other side of this coin? Is that where I want to be? Or do I see that the counsel of God and the word of God teaches something a little bit different, and there's actually kind of room in the middle? Like, there's a Christian liberty, if you will, to sit in the middle and to rest in that tension and not feel like every problem has to be solved with a specific answer.
Ooh, next podcast, Christian liberties.
Christian liberties. Yeah, for sure. But I think, man, we as Christians, we do that a lot. Like, we view secondary issues outside of, like, the non-negotiables.
Yeah.
The Trinity, Jesus is the road to salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, to the gospel. Like, the second tier layer of stuff, that's where we see everybody divide, right? It's because we feel like we have to have a specific answer to every single question. And then you see division happen because of that. And it's because we don't like to sit in that tension of, well, I mean, the scripture speaks to both sides of this coin, right? And we don't like to sit in that tension. So then we feel like we have to pick a very specific answer and then divide amongst each other, right? And that's where, even with the prosperity gospel, right? That's division, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, because I don't like the other side of this coin of, wait, you tell me I can still have tons of faith and pray and still get sick at the same time? Like, I don't like that specific answer. So I'm going to choose this other specific answer, right? And because we don't like sitting in that tension. So I would encourage anybody, man, it's okay to sit in the tension. We're only going to be on this earth for, like, not a long time. Jesus is coming back.
Get comfy.
And be okay with sitting in the tension. Don't let those things divide you amongst other people. View the word of God as the word of God. Look at it in its entirety. And again, that's why I'm referring to secondary issues, not the non-negotiables there.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer. It's 76 degrees outside, and every coin is two sides. Two disclaimers for the podcast today. But the prosperity gospel, any other clarifying questions do you think we need to address with it?
No, I think everything was hit so well, just like both sides of the coin. I guess now, how do you balance the middle?
How do you balance the middle?
Yeah.
is that you just balance it, right? You don't solve it.
That is literally Josh in a nutshell, everybody.
How do you balance the middle? Is that you? You balance the middle, right? You don't have to feel like you have to teeter to one side or teeter to the other, but you balance, right? Yeah. You look and acknowledge both sides and then answer the question of, okay, where does the scripture speak to? And that's where I want to go, right? And not feel like, man, I have to go really heavy on one side and then divide amongst everybody else who doesn't agree with that specific answer.
You balance in the middle by scripture, not by just doing it then.
You balance in the middle. See what the whole counsel speaks to, yeah. What aligns with the character of God, what aligns with the entirety of his word, and then rest in that, mm-hmm. right? So I'll say you balance in the middle, you teeter-totter. You maintain the tension. You
everybody
balance a little
watching,
bit.
Just watch Josh just, do like a little.
Just do a little teeter-totter. What are those called? Was that a teeter-totter?
A seesaw?
A seesaw.
A teeter-totter.
A teeter-totter, yeah. I was thinking of a seesaw. Those things were really fun, right? But a seesaw, you find that sweet spot in the middle.
Yeah.
And then you balance there to know that, hey, especially with the prosperity gospel, like there has to be some truth in it at least, or people wouldn't be following it, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of truth to what they believe, that God loves you, that God is for you. There is grace, there is freedom. He wants to bless you. But then also with the realization that you can have all the faith in the world and pray and be an amazing Christian in the eyes of God with him looking at your heart, mm-hmm. and still not be rich, right? And still get sick. So just knowing that every coin is two sides and it's okay to sometimes balance mm-hmm. in the middle.
Mic drop.
Any other prosperity gospel comments, questions? Let's do it. Well, appreciate you guys hopping on today for another episode of our podcast. We'll be out every week with a new episode. Feel free to tune into the past, to the other 43 episodes out there.
We're
some
have
beautiful
a 50th anniversary.
A 50th anniversary or 50th episode? Because anniversaries are like dates that happen.
Yeah.
50th
episode-iversary.
50th episode. We'll figure out how to say that word. Also, appreciate you guys tuning in. This is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all the things. If you want to text in some questions, just follow us on Instagram, 3strands group, and you can DM us your questions or podcast topic ideas, and we'll make those happen. Peace out. Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life.